daughters and your sons.
Cause everybody
rise up. Come and lift your sign.
It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, and I am so very glad you are joining me. Sorry that yesterday didn't happen, but you know what? One thing I've learned about in Las Vegas, internet, not really reliable. That's just the way it is. So until I can actually afford a studio, or even then, who knows, it'll be the same internet provider. It might be a little spotty sometimes. And I may start doing an hour on Monday and really just give me Friday and Saturday, Sunday off and do an hour on Monday and then do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 minutes. And then that's that. We'll see. Now, this weekend, one of the things I wanted to wait for was the Mueller report. Now, I don't want to, and let me tell you why the Mueller report is going to change my show forever. Because I cannot, I've said this before, but now I can't even do a little bit of politics anymore. And I know that you like want to turn to me for that, but I can't. Because this weekend was a fiasco. You know, am I going to point out that a report about a consensual blowjob by Ken Starr was 456 pages and we get 4 pages for, you know, okay. There's so much I want to say about this that I don't want to say. I don't want to sit here and talk about how the man said on television, I wish Russia would hack her emails, and then they do. That's not collusion. That's not conspiracy. That's not, no, this is, you know, I hate the Democrats right now. I do. I hate the Democrats and anyone that was putting stock in the Mueller report. I never understood that. I never understood. Why is everyone waiting for this report to do their job? This man has done impeachable offenses for 3 fucking years, okay? He's insulted the nation, every other world leader. He's broken laws, tax laws, insurance laws. He is a criminal. I don't need Robert Mueller to tell me this man's a criminal. I have fucking eyes, okay? But no. It appears everybody on Capitol Hill has been waiting for this holy grail of a report. And now that it came out, guess what? Guess what? It ain't all that or a bag of chips. Now, it does leave open the door for obstruction. It does leave open the door for state prosecutors. It does leave open the door for a lot of stuff. But who the fuck cares? Everybody thought, oh, the Mueller report will come out. There'll just be a litany of impeachable offenses. There'll be a perp walk and Don and all of his family will be off to jail and we'll all be saved. Wrong. And so here we are now on this day where the Democrats are like, oh, what the fuck? And then, of course, he has been given. You know what? All this Mueller report did is make Trump and his followers untouchable and insufferable. That's all it did. Now, there are learned individuals who will say, well, actually, this is not good for Trump. It does not answer the question of its obstruction. We have a Trump appointee who did not believe in this in the first place, saying there was no obstruction. But that's like asking someone to review their own album. You know? So we have this just clusterfuck where the Democrats waited for this report. Oh, the Mueller report. Now they're screaming, we want the whole Mueller report. We want the whole Mueller report. And then they're screaming, how dare Attorney Barr say there was no obstruction? You know, who is he to say? Blah, 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 blah. You waited for something. You didn't get the results you wanted. And now you're floundering. And that's why you're weak and why you're probably going to lose in 2020. And I hate that. This weekend symboled why Democrats are going to lose in 2020. Because whether they're united around Satan himself, it doesn't matter. Republicans are united. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter that they've reunited around the despot, around the worst of the worst. They will follow him blindly into hell. And there is no one the Democrats are going to follow blindly into hell. So they're going to lose. There's no leader like Trump on the Democratic side. You're like, what are you saying? I'm telling you, there is no Democrat that is just unafraid to piss off other Democrats, to piss off people. That's what Trump was. He was a Republican that wasn't afraid to piss off Republicans, that wasn't afraid to piss off people. That's why he won. That's why they follow him. So now we have this report. I don't know what's in it. Neither do you. I don't know the cause. I don't know what it's going to do, what Congress is going to do with it. I just know this. They've waited and they've waited And they've waited. And for what? They waited to let somebody else do their job, you know? They waited. They did. You know, they waited just for nothing. They waited for nothing. And why? Why? What did they wait for? They waited for someone to make their job easier. They waited for someone to make their job nicer. They waited for someone to come along and save the day when they were supposed to. Democrat and Republican Congress people are supposed to save the day. They're the ones who are supposed to protect us from Trump, from Pence, from Carson, from all of them. Congress. They're the ones that are supposed to protect us from an out-of-control president issuing out-of-control executive orders. They're the ones. The people's voice, Congress, is what's supposed to protect us. And they haven't been. And now they want to blame Mueller. Oh, it's Mueller's fault. It's Mueller's fault that, you know, blah, blah, blah. They want to blame everyone except themselves. Democrats and the media allowed, and Republicans, all were duplicitous in the creation of Trump. Republicans have sat by while black kids get shot. Republicans have sat by while the nation crumbles. And they certainly have sat by while Donald Trump destroys what was left of it. So they're not even a party. Okay? If you support Donald Trump or you are a Republican, you are a bad person. I'm sorry. If that hurts your feelings, fuck you. You're a bad person if you support Donald Trump. I don't want to say you're ignorant or anything. You're just a bad person. You're just a person who you will forgive the worst that humanity has to offer. You're a bad person if you support that man. Period. That's just it. And instead of framing it that way, you know, because people, oh, we've got to reach. No, I don't want to reach one Trump supporter. I prefer they leave. And I mean that. I no longer care about reaching them. Do you think Trump cared about reaching Democrats or moderates? Nope. And what is he? Mr. President. So I want a candidate that does not care about pleasing you or pleasing me or pleasing their party. I want a candidate that only cares about the Constitution and America, period. That's all I want. And I want a congressperson that only cares about their constituents and the Constitution, not re-election, not Donald Trump, nothing. Their constituents and the Constitution. And we don't have that. How do I know? Look what's happening. Congress could stop this man. They could start impeachment hearings. We impeached a seated president for lying about a consensual blowjob. But this guy and everything that he's done, illegal use of powers, all just down the line, tax evasion, tax fraud. I can't even, just the list of his crimes are on and on and on. You know, bilking the U.S. government, the Emoluments Clause, there's the whole mental stability. There's so many, he's mentally unstable. There's so many things we could start proceedings against this guy on. But we don't. We don't. And today I do a new show. I had one for yesterday that can't post. These we're talking 5 to 10 gigabyte files. I can't upload if I only have an upload speed of 1 or 2 gigabytes. It won't work. I'd have, you know, and I'm not going to run over to a hotel and check in. You know, I'm sorry. And for those of you that get a little miffed about that, let me just explain something to you. I work for me. You support me because you like my product. If you don't like the frequency of my product, then cancel. If you don't like that sometimes I miss a weekend, but I make up the show later in the week, cancel. Okay? Just cancel. Just go away and stop listening. Again, I need to be more like Donald Trump, actually, in some ways. I'm going to please myself artistically. I'm going to fit this into my life. It only makes me $800 a month. So excuse me if I don't make it the absolute drop-dead focus of every single day. It can't be. It doesn't pay the bills. You want more of my attention? Pay for it. And for those of you that do pay for it and do support it, you get my attention. You get 6 minutes a day and an hour every weekend. I do that only for the people that give the $1,000 a month. Period. If you're listening and you're listening for free and you don't like when I give you product, I don't care. No offense to you. I mean that. Don't complain. You don't have the right to complain if you don't participate in the show. There's only 100 of you signed up at my website. And I love that there's 100 of you signed up there. But if you're not one of those 100, you do not get to comment on the show, on the website. If you put a comment down below the video, I don't care. I'm not going to read it. Now someone else reads my feedback at Really Carell email. You send a really negative one that's just hurtful. It doesn't get through to me. Because I don't care to be criticized anymore by the cheap seats. Okay? Step up. You want to criticize this show? Be an active participant in it. Pay money for it. Then I'll take your criticisms into account. It's just like America. You want to be a part of America? It takes more than sniping on the internet or leaving a sad email. You know, I'm sorry. If you don't participate, you don't get a count. And that's just that. I've called Congress. I called my congressional leaders today and said, who cares about the Mueller report? Do your job. Impeach. Have you? How many of you have actually picked up the phone, called your congressional leader and said, I don't care what the Mueller report says. There are plenty of other grounds for impeachment. Open the hearings. How many of you have said that? How many of you have called your congressperson? Go to, you know, any kind of Google will tell you who to call. How many of you have done it? Called your congressional leaders and said, don't care about the Mueller report. There are plenty of ways to start an impeachment proceeding. Start. Have you done that today? Yes or no? If you haven't done it today, after this weekend, then don't complain today about the Mueller report. Don't complain about the ineptness in Washington. If you haven't picked up the phone today, Monday, or sent an email today, Monday. It's why I did the show over again instead of having the show I gave you yesterday. I'm doing it new today because I have new things to say. I woke up and called my congressional leaders and said, I don't give a rat's ass about the Mueller report. Y'all have had tons of grounds. There are psychiatrists waiting to declare him unfit for service. You know, just waiting. There are articles in the New York Times by countless psychiatrists saying he's unfit for service. There's a huge cadre of evidence that the man is mentally unstable and not fit for office. There's grounds for impeachment right there. High crimes and misdemeanors. I think making fun of a reporter is a high crime. I think vilifying the press alone, and many scholars agree, just his vilification of the press is a high crime. And, you know, there have been so many impeachable offenses. You don't need the Mueller report. The only people that need it are weak-minded individuals afraid to take bold actions on their own. And that's all we have in Congress now. Weak-minded individuals who are too afraid, except maybe AOC and a few others, to take action on their own. They have to have action by consensus. You know, there are these cops who will only take a case if there are these DAs who will only prosecute a case if they know they're going to win. Like if they know. If there's any kind of chance they won't win, they won't take the case. That's what Congress is. Unless they can guarantee impeachment, well, they're just not going to do it. So what have they done? They sat by and gave this guy an enormous weapon to now fight them and win in 2020. They are all going to hail this report. Oh, no collusion. He's been totally vindicated. Our president's great. It's done. The fever pitch you're going to hear now from the other side for months now, it's done. They shot themselves in the foot waiting for a report, which they totally thought was going to be damning and contemptuous and issue indictments. And so, no. And while there have been, you know, 50 arrests and 120 crimes charged and all of these things, okay, while criminals were found, the guy's still untouchable. And that's because Congress won't touch him. So, what do I think about the Mueller report? I think it's sad that people even care about it. I think it's sad that people just waited for that to like make their decision. Like they needed some confirmation that this guy was a despot, that he was a criminal. Congress has every bit of subpoena power, investigative power. They didn't need Mueller to go out and do this. They could have done it themselves, but they won't do their jobs. And because they won't do their jobs, we are stuck. We are stuck. Right here, right now, just waiting for somebody. And that somebody's not coming. Donald Trump is going to win re-election in 2020. This weekend proves it. or at least his chances are about 70% right now. There is a 70% chance he will be reelected. If you don't like that, it's time to start thinking of other countries. And I am. I am once again going back to looking to other countries. Because when he went, I told myself, I will move to Las Vegas, which I am totally loving. My God, yesterday I went to the Colorado River. It was so good thing I did. My internet was out all day. It was a great trip. We went to the Arizona Hot Springs. We walked three and a half miles in through gravel, through a carved out gorge with 100-foot rock on both sides, you know, a gorge cut through a canyon, and it goes for 3 miles down to the Colorado River. And you just walk on gravel where there used to be, you know, prehistoric rivers that were 50 feet tall. It's like 50 feet wide, this gorge, 150-foot mountains on both sides of it. And you just walk 3 miles through it, twisty turny, all the way down to the Colorado River, where we jumped in and Ember met her first river, and it was spectacular. Then we climbed up 200 feet up over a mountain. And yeah, it took me a while. I'm handicapped. So we climbed up over 200 feet to the hot springs, where I didn't go in because there's amoebic dysentery and all that. But they did, Tyler and Viv. And then we walked back to the river, where we spent time playing and having a grand afternoon, playing in the water, and then came back home. A total of 9 miles round trip. Got home, my internet wasn't working. So did a show, internet wasn't working. Went to post the show, internet wasn't working. So gave up at about 11 o'clock. And now here I am. And when you're out there and you're in that wild and you're in the beauty of your city and you're loving your city, you're thinking, I'd hate to leave this. I would, but I will. I'd hate to leave it, but I will. Because all the Mueller report did is give him a reelection tool to spin. You know, and it's sad and it's tragic. And now there's nothing worse than an emblazoned asshole. And that's exactly what he is. Or an inflamed one, actually. Or a lumpy one. But that's exactly what he is. And now we're sitting here, the Democrats, wait. You know? For what? You're so weak, Democrats. You're so weak that the big report that wasn't. And now you're scrambling when you should be in a place of power through all of this, because he never once acts weak. God bless him. He always acts like, nope, I'm great. America's great. Everybody's going to do what I say. And guess what? They are. You know, Pelosi, impeachment's off the table. Pelosi should have been screaming impeachment from the get-go. Fear, fear, fear. Democrats are cowering little assholes right now. And I'm sorry, Democrats, I'm not one of you. I'm not a registered Democrat, because you're cowering little assholes. You're just, the Republicans are mean and evil. You won't denounce their entire party. You won't stop doing business with them in Congress. You won't just say, we're not doing business with Republicans. Send somebody else to Congress from your constituency. But if you send a Republican, we're not even recognizing their vote. You won't do that. Democrats won't announce that they're going to stop recognizing the Republican Party as a real party, that it has become an alt-right hate group, much like the KKK or neo-Nazis. They are. That's the truth. It's provable. But Democrats would never say that about Republicans, that they have become a dangerous alt-right hate group, including the president. They are. But while we've got this dangerous alt-right hate group known as Republicans, we've got these weak, sniveling cowards known as Democrats. So the alt-right is winning. Every day, the alt-right wins. This country is going backwards more and more every day. Alabama's going to pass a law this week repealing marriage licenses for everybody. They're not going to grant marriage license to anybody. Why? They don't want to give them to gays. Iowa just passed a law that says you can't tape cops without their permission. We're going backwards. And what do? We fight about Barbara Streisand and Diana Ross, because we're going to talk about that. They stepped in it this weekend, and we're going to talk about it. We've talked about it already, but there's been all weekend, while this whole Mueller thing was unfolding, all anyone could be doing is be mad at Barbara Streisand. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Barbara and Diana Ross stepping into the Leaving Neverland fray, and why Barbara Streisand was completely right, and many people hate it. That's what's up.
Lift our voices to the sky. We must remember.
It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. Barbara Streisand and Diana Ross stepped in the Leaving Neverland pile of shit this weekend. And then Barbara had to issue a profound apology. Diana Ross is not yet, but, you know, whatever. So, in case you haven't heard, and everybody has, Diana told an interviewer that the kids were thrilled to be there, first of all. That's not the everything taken out of context, but Barbara Streisand says Neverland victim thrilled to be there. Okay, here's the deal. When you encounter something bad, there is this notion that you have to carry it with you the rest of your life, and that it's going to change you. That is the biggest line of shit I've ever heard in my life, okay? I had sex from the time I was 13 to the time I was 16 with a man that was four times my age and a father figure. And I shouldn't have, and it shouldn't have happened, but I did. And you know what? Was I raped or abused? No, that's what Barbara was trying to say. I wasn't beaten. There are kids who are actually beaten, who are punched and beaten and held down and raped. She was trying to say they weren't, you know, molested as in grabbed and tortured. They were thrilled to be where they were at. That's what she was trying to say. You know, they weren't pulled off the street, thrown in the back of a van, taken to some alley somewhere where they were brutalized and then turned out. That's not what happened. They were actually happy to be in their situation. Should they have been happy? No, but they were. Okay? By their own admission, they were thrilled to be there. Okay? Is it right that they were thrilled to be there? No, but they were. So they weren't in some sort of torturous place that everybody wants to make it out. Like Michael Jackson was the Marquis de Sade who took these kids to a basement and tied them up in leather and bound them to a rack and beat them. That's Ann Coulter, not Michael Jackson. You know, stop it. They were not physically abused outside of the sex. They weren't beaten. They weren't deprived of food like R. Kelly put people in a corner with a chain and a bucket. That's not what happened to them. So stop trying to act like it was. They were not harmed outside of the sex, which harmed them psychologically, but not physically. So that's what she was trying to say. They weren't being, quote, molested, as in grabbed and raped and tortured. They were thrilled to be where they were at. They shouldn't have been, but they were. Okay? So she's right on that comment. They were thrilled to be there. Their parents were thrilled to be there. How do I know? They let them stay. So everybody was thrilled to be there at the time. Now, the kids shouldn't have been, and they didn't know better, and now that they look back, they weren't thrilled to be there. But at the time, they were. So let's just put that to rest. And then when she said, Ms. Streisand, you know, they've grown up, they have wives, they got married, it didn't kill them. Oh, well, everyone just went to, oh my God, how could she say it didn't kill them? Because it didn't. There are children that do not survive sexual abuse. They either kill themselves because they just can't deal with it, or they get killed during the abuse. They're killed by their abusers. Okay? Many go on to survive it. And I guess we don't want that. I guess the Me Too movement doesn't want survivors to actually survive. They want them to lament the rest of their life and carry some horrific weight with them that upsets them forever. They don't want anyone to say, you know, it happened, but I'm fine. It didn't kill me. They don't want anyone to say that. They certainly didn't want Ms. Streisand to say, well, it didn't kill them. You know, they've had lives. They have marriages. One of them's worth a lot of money. You know, they survived it. I guess we don't want to hear that survivors can survive things. On this weekend where two Parkland shooter victims have killed themselves, you know, we should be addressing that. These are people who didn't survive it. You know, perhaps we should talk about that abuse and the abuse of being shot at and how that is far worse than being screwed by a pop star. But oh no, we will address the pain of the Leaving Neverland victims. Where's the documentary about the survivors of Parkland? Where's the HBO 5-hour expose about how guns tear everybody apart a lot more and you're not thrilled to be there? Was anyone thrilled to be at Parkland? No. Anyone thrilled to be at Sandy Hook? No. Anyone thrilled to be at Aurora? No. Anyone thrilled to be at any of the mass shootings that have happened except perhaps the shooters? No. Anyone thrilled to be at the Christ Church? No. So no one was thrilled to be at gun violence. Everybody at gun violence gets hurt. people die and then commit suicide because they can't deal with it. But we will not talk about that ad infinitum. Oh no, ad infinitum. We will talk about sexual abuse because somehow that scars you more than being shot at. No. Sexual abuse does not scar you more than being shot at if you weren't being raped or beaten when the abuse went on. I'm not a psychiatrist. That's just a layman's opinion, but I will tell you it's probably a good one. Being shot at and fearing for your life and or actually being shot is probably more psychologically and physically damaging to you than being carried everywhere from the time you're 7 until 15, being bought everything in the world, your parents being flown on private planes, and you having to suck a vitiligo-ridden dick every so often. Sorry. If the bluntness of that bothers you, oh well. But I guarantee you, I would rather, you know, if you look at the grand scheme of things, what would you rather have a young person go through? Neither, obviously. Neither. But one is survivable. One, not. Being shot at, not really survivable. Even if you do survive, that is something. You'll get every loud noise you'll hear. Fireworks are going to bother you for the... I mean, that is something. You know, I doubt if Wade Robinson screams every time he sees someone with vitiligo. Okay? I doubt every time he sees a penis, it hurts him. And some... Well, you know what I'm saying. I doubt every time, you know, he has sex, he is brought to a post-traumatic stress disorder sort of symptom where he cries or leaves the room or whatever. I don't know. I haven't talked to him and I haven't watched the movie. But I will know that the Parkland survivors, that the trauma is so much they're killing themselves. Soldiers are killing themselves in record numbers. Killing themselves. Not doing documentaries about their abuse. Killing themselves in record numbers. Number one source of death after the military. Suicide. So where's the outrage? Where, oh, no. But Miss Ross says that Michael Jackson was a huge force in my life. Can we all just stop in the name of love? And then Miss Streisand saying, well, it didn't kill them. They must be verboten. But the things that did kill people, the gun violence, the things that ripped holes in their lives that will be there forever if they did survive, because that is a traumatic experience that can, in fact, cause, you know, lifelong trauma. And there are people who have been shot at that get right over it. Absolutely. They're called black people. They have to. I mean, they're shot at all the time. They're threatened all the time. You know, they have to get over it. They live with the fear of being shot and they have to just put it in their mind and deal with it every day. You're not black, you don't know. If you are, then you do. But please, somehow Barbara's in trouble because she said they survived it. Well, that's what a survivor does, survive. What do you want them to be in tears everywhere they go? You want them to cry at the checkout counter? Oh, there's Wade and I mean, every time you see them, you want them to just break down? You don't want them to have well-adjusted, happy lives where they're actually over the trauma? How dare you? How dare America say that once you're a victim, you have to always be a victim? How victimizing? The Me Too movement now wants to victimize victims by saying you always have to be a victim. And I mean that. And you know what you Me Too is? If you want to get mad at me, you go right ahead. But you are wanting people to always be victims. You want them to identify as victims. That's what I'm seeing. How dare you say that they survived it? How dare you say that maybe, just maybe, they're living good, happy lives now? How dare you say that, well, it didn't kill them? It didn't. They're alive doing documentaries. They're not dead. Their pain is real. Something terrible happened to them. Yeah, their parents abused them. By the way, Michael Jackson abused them sexually. Their parents abused them just a million ways, you know? All Michael did was screw him. Their parents really screwed him up. Michael screwed them, allegedly. Their parents screwed them literally. You know? Period. There's no doubt about that. There is still doubt whether Michael Jackson slept with them or not or screwed them. There's no doubt that their parents really screwed them. But you want to be mad at Barbara for saying they survived it, that they didn't die. And that instead of being beaten and tortured and chained up to a wall, held behind bars, put into a dog cage, as we have heard, Betty Topper, 5 years old, chained to her bed in Norco. I was there. I saw her covered in feces as she's being put into the ambulance. You know, I've seen what a tortured, abused kid looks like. They don't have Michael Jackson hats and shoes and get on private planes. Okay? So Streisand was taken a bit out of context, but what she said was right. They weren't killed, they weren't tortured, and they did survive it. I guess we don't want to hear that, right? We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that they weren't tortured, that they did survive, and that it appears, outside of emotional baggage that wells up when they talk about it, that they've done okay in life. You know, it appears. You say that, and I guess you're evil. You say that, and I guess you're wrong. But I won't be a victim for anybody, for the gay community, for the straight community, for anybody. I won't be a victim. I'm not a victim of homophobia. I'm a recipient of it. That doesn't make me a victim. It just happened this weekend. My friend Tyler, his mother, Terry, hates me. Hates me. And she finally told Tyler why at dinner this weekend. And it's because I'm gay. And she also looked across the table at her son and said, I would have a problem with you if you were gay. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that woman no longer exists to me. And she doesn't exist in a bubble. Her church lets her feel that way. Fox News lets her feel that way. Everybody lets her feel that way. She is a bigot, a homophobe. She does not know me. I've helped her family more, and both the father and the son said, well, he's really helped our family quite a bit, actually. She didn't care. And when they defended me and said, look, you don't know him, you should not be, she got up and left the table. Yeah. Because she's that much of a homophobe. Am I her victim? No. I'm a recipient. What was sad was Tyler has never experienced homophobia as a 30-year-old straight guy. He's never felt it. He's seen it. But you don't feel it when you see it. But now someone he truly cares for, me, was being attacked for the sole purpose of being gay by his mother. And he couldn't deal with it. For 2 hours after the dinner, he called me on the phone. And he couldn't take it. He was apologizing. He just was like, I'm so sorry. I've never heard someone be attacked for just being themselves, especially when they're such a good person. You're such a good person, and she hates you because you're gay. And I'm like, you sound shocked at that. And he was. And I felt more sorry for him. And he found that odd, that I would feel more sorry for him than I do. I said, Tyler, I've been receiving that for 43 years. I came out at 13. I've been receiving that hatred for 43 years. If you think it's new or that, you know, does it bother me? It bothers me that it exists, but I'm not a victim of it. I'm a recipient of it. I am not a victim of sexual abuse. I'm a recipient of it. I was there. It happened. But to be a victim of it would imply that somehow I'm going to let it destroy my life. No. No. The only way these two are victims of Michael Jackson is if it destroyed their life. Now, it appears it kind of did for a while. So I guess they would be victims. But now it appears from the media that they're taking their life back, that they're reclaiming. They're standing up and saying, no, this happened to me. That person did it. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. This is who I am. Okay, well, that's called reclaiming your life and taking control of it. So that means they're no longer his victims. But I guess the public doesn't want that. They want them to be wounded, sobbing, hurt victims their entire life because it fits the public narrative. It fits the narrative the public wants. Well, that's just sad. And when someone comes along and says, wait a minute, this is the wrong narrative, then that person's the enemy. Streisand's the enemy because she said they lived through it. You know, it didn't kill them. How callous that is to say sexual abuse didn't kill them. It didn't. And anyone that wants to equate it to something even more horrific, I'm sorry. Live through the AIDS crisis. Live through a Holocaust. The Jews lived through a Holocaust. So have the gays. And trust me, when you live through a Holocaust, you look at other abuse and go, really? You're going to let that destroy you? My friends couldn't be taken to the hospitals and would die in cars because paramedics wouldn't touch them. Doctors wouldn't perform tests on them, so they died on the table. Funeral homes wouldn't bury them, so they got wrapped in sheets and dug in holes. You want to talk about baggage? Live through a genocide. That's what the Holocaust was, a genocide, and that's what AIDS was, a genocide. America and the world let gays die because it was just gays. That's a genocide. Yep. Well, we lived through that. I live through it. You live through it. Other gays live through it. Do we get to be wounded little victims our whole life? Do we get to say that, oh, well, you shouldn't say that we lived through it. How dare you say, well, at least you lived through the AIDS crisis. No, I will proudly take that. Thank you. So this notion that you have to be a victim your whole life, that if something bad happens to you, that's it. It defines you for the rest of your life. No. If that something is a shooting, you will have PTSD. And that's a real disorder. That's real. I have it. That's a real psychological disorder. And it's treatable with medication and the like. And so you've lived through the event, but it did leave permanent damage that you can then recover from. You can get through PTSD, but you are always going to have to deal with the triggers. You know, sexual abuse, I don't think every day you have to deal with it. I don't think every time you pull down your pants, you got to deal with it. I really don't. I don't. Every time I have sex, I'm not taken right back to being 13 again. I don't start crying or sobbing. I don't, you know, it'd be kind of embarrassing. I mean, really. So either let people move on and let them not be victims, or let's not have all this conversation in public anymore. Because if the only reason to have this conversation in public is to paint someone a tragic little victim and never let them move on from it and say that they can't be happy, that they can't say, or no one can say, well, it didn't kill them, so, you know, they're happy now. You know, let's look at the positive and move forward. Isn't that what she was saying? They have lives. They have wives. It didn't kill them. Let's move forward. Let's rebuild. Let's, you know, focus on the future. Yes, it's terrible. Let's find ways that this won't happen again. Let's talk about Elvis Presley marrying a 14-year-old, Jerry Lee Lewis. Let's talk about all the underage shenanigans that go on with white male pop stars. Yes, there's a very real crisis out there of this going on. Let's talk about how Rock idealizes the 16-year-old. Look, I'm watching a show called Tell Me a Story on CBS All Access. This one guy, he's supposed to be in high school. He's like this asshole. But he's supposed to be in high school. They had him in his underwear, you know, yanking it the other day. Now, in reality, he's supposed to be in high school. So what? We're watching twink porn on CBS All Access. But at the same weekend I'm watching that, Barbara Streisand's be taken to task for something she said, while this guy that's supposed to be a high schooler is, you know, yanking it on CBS All Access. Yeah, come on. I mean, come the hell on. All right, so they were out of context, and while they might have been misguided, their sentiment is right. You don't always have to be a victim, and don't let the Me Too movement say that you have to always be a victim and that you can't look back and go, no, I lived through it. I will tell you, I lived through sexual, you know, shenanigans, abuse. I don't know what I want to call it. I lived through it. I'm fine. I wasn't tortured or beaten or anything. You know, I wasn't thrilled to be there, but I wasn't, you know, unhappy to be there. And in my future life, well, it hasn't really made me, you know, any kind of horrible person. So I won't be a victim. Neither should the people in Finding Neverland. Neither should you. No one should be anybody's victim. Okay, get rid of the victim mindset. Things can happen to you that are terrible, but you can live through them and you can thrive again. And when they're happening to you, maybe they're happening to you when you're not in a terrible spot. Maybe terrible things are happening to you when you're actually having fun. It can happen. All right, don't forget to sign up at the website. And while I'm grateful 125 of you actually have and you all are talking and everything, we should have thousands of members. So go to reallycarell.com. It's so much better than Facebook. You can post everything just like Facebook. That's how it works. It's just like Facebook. There's groups and photo albums and you connect with people and you comment on things and you can chat interactively. You can chat person to person. It's just like Facebook, but it's for progressives and liberals and, you know, gays and gay friendly and for people just like you. And it's my website, reallycarell.com, reallykarell.com. Registration is free. So please go there and please register and have a good time. And while you're there, there's a way to support the show. It's called Patreon, Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Carell and pledge as little as $3 a month, and it keeps the show on air. All right, we'll finish up our hour when we come back. Don't forget, it's Really Carell at all social media. Don't cross them. I know the world is full of them. I know the world is full of them. They do it, they do it, they do it. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. You know, I mentioned the conversation where Tyler had to defend me to his mother this weekend, and he experienced homophobia firsthand from her. And I'd like to say that that rolled off me. It didn't, because I feel that there are so many kids today now encountering that again, you know, and they shouldn't be. It's 2019, you know, but they are. They're encountering it yet again at the hands of people like her. What if Tyler were gay? He's not, but what if he were? You know, what if he just hadn't come to grips with it yet? And he's sitting across from a woman that's supposed to love him unconditionally saying, I'd have a problem with you. You know, we talk a good talk about unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, and then we put conditions on it. Being gay in America is no piece of cake right now. I know you all think that being anything in America isn't a piece of cake, but you don't have laws being made against you, okay? Even if you're black, while you are being slaughtered systematically and incarcerated, you don't have specific laws saying if you are black, you can't get a cake here. If you are black, you can't stay at this Airbnb. There's a case about that now, where if you have an Airbnb and it's your home and you don't want a gay couple to occupy your home, can you turn them away? You don't have all of that happening, you know, as we speak. But it is happening for gays. It totally is. And while everyone thinks it's better, it's actually going backwards. It's regressing. And I feel that at this time in our country, we are at a dangerous precipice. You know, we really, truly are. And that precipice is, now with this Mueller report and the right feeling emblazoned and empowered, the cultural shift could continue into the negative. You know, into the negative. And as it does, I worry that it's not, you know, that it's not going to, I don't know, that it's not going to change back. Now, in a piece of fun pop culture news, Michael Avenatti has been arrested. Allegedly, a $20 million extortion scheme against Nike, embezzling clients' money and defrauding a bank. Now, maybe he did all that, but it's ironic that he would go to jail and Trump and all of them who have done all of these things, extortion, embezzling, you know, defrauding a bank. So now Avenatti's taken down, right? That's what the left or the right's going to say, you know. He's been arrested on charges of trying to extort $25 million from Nike by threatening to reveal negative publicity. I don't understand what that means. By threatening to reveal claims that the company employees authorized payments to the families of top high school bet. So he threatened Nike to reveal a crime, I guess, unless they paid him money. Is that it? I don't know. Do we care about this? Trying to extort $25 million from Nike by threatening to, he's a lawyer. If he did this, he's the stupidest lawyer around. To reveal, when a lawyer breaks the law, I always think, well, you're the stupidest lawyer around. Celebrity lawyer Michael Avenatti was arrested Monday in New York on charges of trying to extort $25 million from Nike. Please let me be his prison mate. By threatening to reveal claims that the company employed authorized payments. Okay. He was separately charged in L.A. with embezzling clients' money in order to pay his own expenses and debts. And those of his law firm and coffee company of defrauding a bank in Mississippi. I see. Cohen related to a non-disclosure agreement she signed on the eve of the Daniels replaced Avenatti. She probably knew this was coming. Daniels in a statement said she has a new lawyer. Avenatti is 48. He was arrested in Midtown Manhattan at the law offices of Boies, Schiller, and Flexner. He knew that was coming by FBI agents 15 minutes after he tweeted that he would be disclosing a big high school and college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike that he supposedly had uncovered. Ah, so Nike sent the police to arrest him. The co-conspirators were identified by NBC as Mark Garagos. What? The co-conspirator has been identified as Mark Garagos, a high-profile California criminal attorney who is now representing Jussie Smollett. A person who answered Garagos' office told CNBC, "We are not on liberty to speak to the matter." Garagos is going to go to jail too? Oh, my God. According to the complaint, here's what the complaint says. Okay. Oh, this is fun. Avenatti had offered to not hold that press conference if Nike made a payment of $1.5 million to a client of Avenatti in possession of information damaging to Nike and agreed to retain Avenatti and Garagos to conduct an internal investigation. Huh. This sounds like Avenatti actually isn't on the wrong side here. This sounds like stuff lawyers do all the time. You know, we're going to go public unless you... Doesn't that sound like something lawyers do all the time? Money crimes. Isn't that the only thing you go to jail for now? Who was hurt here? Who was hurt here? Money crimes. Money crimes. He was trying to get money from a big company that's got money. The big company that's got money didn't want to give him any money, so they told him to go arrest him. Money crimes. That's all anyone gets arrested for these days. Money crimes. Money crimes. See, Trump didn't commit a money crime, really, so that's why he can't get arrested. Once they prove a money crime against Trump, they'll arrest him. Oh, he can screw you and me a month from Sundays, literally, like he did Stormy Daniels. At least he paid her. But, you know, he can screw whoever he wants, but it's a money crime. Forget about a high crime or misdemeanor against you or I. He's got to piss off a banker, or he's got to piss off an insurance company, or he's got to steal money from someone that's got it first. Stealing from us? Who cares? But a money crime? So Avenatti has committed a money crime, Avenatti, and now he's going to go probably, well, he won't go to jail. These kinds of crimes, they don't go to jail. They plead out. They pay a fine. They do whatever, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, Apple, in other pop culture news today, I talked about this yesterday, and I thought, oh, well, you know, I should have waited until they did it so I could then talk about it. So then today I thought, oh, well, you just redo the show today, and then you can talk about what Apple is doing. Because enough of the fucking streaming services, okay? We have enough. I cannot keep my Netflix and my Hulu and my Spotify and all of this. I've got so many people in my pocket streaming money right out of my wallet. That's whenever you hear the term streaming service now, just think streaming money, yours, okay? Apple service ain't going to be free. So you already pay for Netflix. You already pay for Hulu. You already pay for cable. What else do you pay for? Do you pay for the HBO and the Showtime? Do you pay for the Spotify and the Apple? Streaming is now just a way. You know, it was really cool. The internet made it so we could then have like all that we wanted at our fingertips. And they panicked because they weren't making money at it. And then they figured out a way to make money for it. Parse every single thing out and make you pay a la carte for it. And that's what happens now. I don't know about you. I ain't subscribing to one more damned thing. Unless it's a person. If there's a person I like that's providing content, I'll pay for that. But this kind of stuff? No. I'm sorry. We don't need any more streaming services. We need the ones we have to be better. You know, Netflix, I love you, but now you're putting out crap. You're just putting out 1,000 shows that 5 people are watching, and most of them are crap. There are 10 episodes that could be told in 2. CBS is doing the same thing, right, Miss Ember? CBS is doing the same thing. They're putting out shows that are 13 episodes that should be a movie. Drag it out. They ain't that interesting. I ain't subscribing to one more thing, Apple. I'm sorry. In fact, I have Apple Music, but I never use it. I use Spotify. What do you guys use? Send your emails to feedback@reallycurl.com. What do you subscribe to? What streaming services? Spotify, Apple, Apple Music or Hulu, Pandora. For TV, do you use cable? Do you use your logins? Do you pay for Netflix? Do you pay for Hulu? What streaming service do you use and do you pay for? Send that to feedback@reallycurl.com. That's feedback@reallycurl.com. All right, we're almost out of here. The show is 54 minutes on an hour. That's because of commercial. Progressive Voices Network needs 6 minutes at the top of the hour so they can put stuff in there. So, you know, why not? If they can still play it on Progressive Voices Network, let them. I think that's great. But I have to leave the last 6 minutes empty. So there are 54 minutes. So we are almost out of here. I wanted to say at the beginning, I was like, if you don't pay for it. I get a lot of emails that criticize me if I miss a show. Oh, what? You can't even do this. You can't even do that. Not a lot. I get like 3 usually. And there's this one that I don't get anymore because we now bounce it back to them. something mouse or something. They were so hateful and rude that I just banned them. They don't get through anymore. It's like on the website, reallycarell.com. If you go on there and post spam, I just throw you out and you're banned. That's it. You post stuff that's just an ad. It's not of interest to anybody. I mean, if it's an ad and it's something of interest, okay. But it's just, you know, spam. It's you trying to sell something that doesn't pertain to me or my audience. Get out. You know, just ban you. And I really believe that as we move forward with the show and with all of it, my focus really is just you, the people who interact on the website, the people who interact on Hulu. You're my niche. I used to have to think about the broader audience. Don't piss off the broad. No, you know what? Right now, you're what I care about, the people that actually give. And if you give and you don't like that sometimes I have to miss a show because my internet isn't working or because, quite frankly, I am handy. Y'all forget I am on disability, okay? And sometimes I can't sit down or stand up. Okay, sometimes my back hurts so much I gotta lay down all day. You know, I mean, just that's just the way it is. I know you hear about me out hiking and doing. Why do you think I'm trying to do that stuff to strengthen my back? Because there are still days where I'll be down for 3 hours and I don't take opiates. And neither should you. And so because I'm not on opiates, I can't just gung-ho through my day. If my back says, whoa, then I whoa. And if that's bad for you, I'm sorry. You know, if it means the hour comes on Monday instead of Saturday or Sunday, I'm sorry. And if it means that I might go do something that I need to do psychologically, something to set my mind right, and so it makes the show later and you don't like that, again, I'm sorry. But I've got to be independent now. So I owe you a show every day and you'll get one. I owe you my subscribers. And if I stop doing the show completely, I would hope you'd still support me because I'd be giving you music. I'd be giving you film. I'd be giving you life in segments. I'd be giving, you know, I mean, I do a lot of creative stuff. I don't just do this show. Right, Miss Ember? She is so tired and she's limping a little today. I think her pet 3 miles on gravel, you know, gravel that would be at the bottom of a river, like little chunky gravel, you know, and then playing at the river and then climbing up the rock mountain. You know, she loves it. You can't keep her at the ground. She goes on without me. I can't go up. Ember climbs faster than I do. And there are some ways I can't climb. I have to then take an alternate path because I'm like, I can't do that with my back. And then I just take an alternate path and it's a little longer sometimes. It gets me the same place, but it's not as challenging. And then there are sometimes I just say I can't go. Like, I'd love to go up that, but I can't because of this back. If I hurt it, then I'm hurt. However, just know that I feel my responsibility to you, that those that pay me, and give the Patreon, I feel it every day. Every morning I wake up and say, I have to do something nice for my patrons today. I got to do my 6 minutes. I got to send them another remix of the song. I got to do the full hour. I got to, you know, I can't thank you enough for what you do for me. But if you're not one of those people, and then you want to criticize, just know that I disregard it now. Not because I don't love you or not because I don't think your opinion is valid, but because right now, my focus has to be the people that are actually supporting the show. The 3,000 plus followers on Twitter, the 800 followers on Instagram, which I'm hoping to switch over to my website so I don't have to use Instagram anymore. Those are the people that I have to grow and build right now. Because if you're not a supporter, if you're not visiting the website, if you're not, you know, listening and then supporting through Patreon, you're just riding on their coattails. And so I have to make sure that they keep wearing their coat for you and for me. And they're the boss. They're the ones who are important to me. And it's a new way of thinking as an artist, you know, but I no longer want to please millions and millions and millions of faceless people. I want to please the hundreds or thousands that actually want to be involved in my product. And to that end, I want to come and perform out in public. So I need the first place is San Jose. If any of you in San Jose can think of a venue for me, please email feedback@reallycarell.com and Steve will forward that. feedback@reallycarell.com. Please help me find a venue in San Jose that I can perform at. It has to be small, under 200 seats. feedback@reallycarell.com because I want to come to San Jose. All right. Don't forget the website is reallycarell.com. I am Carell. Be who you want to be. A song don't hurt anybody. Follow me on Twitter. That is the one place now that I'm using because I'm trying to get away from Instagram as well because it's owned by Steve Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, whatever his name is, Zuckerberg. So I want to get away from that. But about Apple streaming service, they're going to do news. They're going to do television, original shows. They want to be Netflix, but add in other features. Unless it's really great, are you going to cancel Netflix? Oh, and Amazon, you know, I think the field is full and I think they're late. You know, Apple's about innovation. You haven't innovated anything in a long time. You keep making the same damn phone, the same damn pad. You aren't updating your computers and your streaming services. It's going to be a different form of Netflix. How about you innovate, Apple? How about that?